welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. In fact, welcome to the last episode of What Matters in North Carolina. Yes, you heard me right. This is the last episode of What Matters in North Carolina. But that's okay because we are going to be introducing the new name of the show, the new branding for the show, NC Capital Connection, starting next week. And if you know my background a little bit, you know that I am a reporter for NC Capital Connection. I was brought on a few years ago to start NC Capital Connection, which is online state news reporting. And that is nccapitalconnection.com if you want to read those stories. If you know, both of these ventures are supported by the Civitas Institute, and now both are being brought together under one banner of NC Capital Connection. So we might call it NC Capital Connection Radio, or the NC Capital Connection Show, or the NC Capital Connection Podcast, or whatever have you. But that will be the only change, but will be changing next week. So if you're subscribed to the show, don't be surprised when it comes in under a new name this week. Or if you go to the website, don't be surprised to see that the What Matters in North Carolina show is not going to be there anymore. It'll be under the new banner of NC Capital Connection. We're not sure if the archives will remain as What Matters in North Carolina, and then we'll just move forward doing NC Capital Connection or Capital Connection show. And that'll begin next week. But we wanted to let you know that you're listening to the last one of these, the last What Matters in North Carolina show. But we are really glad to have you here on the show. So on today's show, we will be talking with Janie Wagstaff of the Icon Lecture Series, and we will be talking about the start of the Icon Lecture Series. It starts March 13th is the first one, where they will have Tom DeWeese coming, and his talk is called Sustainable: The War Against Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuality. And you're going to tune in to that segment with me and Janie Wagstaff, who is one of the co-founders of the Icon Lecture Series, talking about that. So again, we're really excited here at the Freedom Action Network about pulling these two brands together, nccapitalconnection.com, the state political news website, and then the show now being Capital Connection. And we'll pull those together and have one solid brand together. But as far as content-wise, a lot of things will be exactly the same. We are going to have a lot more outside guests coming in on the show, which I think is a positive change. Of course, you know, starting with Janie Wagstaff this week coming into the show. And overall, I think we see a whole lot of positive change happening at the new Capital Connection. And thank you for being with us before. Thanks for being with us now if it's your first time, and through this transition as we move to a unified show. Without any further ado, let's get to our segment with Janie Wagstaff. All right, Janie, thanks for coming on. You're of course, the president and one of the founders of the Icon Lecture Series, and we're glad to have you here to talk to us about it.
Thank you, Matt. I'm happy to be here.
So this is the beginning of the season. This is your preseason, getting everything ramped up and ready to go right now where we are. We're recording this before the first one comes out. It'll come out before the first one comes out, the first series in the series, which is going to be March 13th, right?
Right. This is our sixth year.
Okay.
And the very beginning of the 2018 season.
So you're getting a little handle on it now.
We've got a handle on it. We are ready to roll.
All right. So before we get into the specifics of the different series, or the different speakers in the series or lectures in the series, there's going to be five of them going from March to October. Is that the usual timeline of this?
It is. We have found out working the months between daylight savings time in the summer has the most audience participation, and then picking up in the fall and ending before daylight savings time is over.
Well, it sounds like you definitely do have it figured out. And also, I mean, looking at this timeline, it's kind of when elections are ramping up too. And these are all things that are policy points that are important during election time, and important all the time, but on people's the forefront of their mind in election years. And I guess that's probably intentional.
It is. We were very lucky in September of 16 to have Stephen Moore, who was Donald Trump's economic advisor. So that was a big boost in the fall as we finished up with our last two events.
I bet. And it just, I mean, as far as someone who's around all of this, it's is looks like one of those events where you get into the meat and potatoes and of a lot of things. It's not, you know, looking over these guests, and we'll go ahead and talk about the first one to kind of get into that. But, you know, coming up March 13th, that's a Tuesday, and they're all on Tuesdays, but you've got Tom DeWeese coming from the American Policy Center, and this is a real nuts and bolts property rights guy coming in. It's not just the talking points kind of person. It seems like this is the person who's going to dig down into these things. And I mean, is that your goal with all of your speakers you line up?
We've experienced in our own lives and watching and keeping our ear to the ground that these issues are so complicated. It's not like the average mom is going to put the kids to bed and say, well, I think I'll research a little bit more on immigration policy tonight before I go to bed. No, it's way too complicated. And that is how we came up with ICON, which stands for Issues Confronting Our Nation, as an education nonprofit for those issues that are so complicated. We wanted to provide a forum where people could, one, hear a very educated, knowledgeable speaker on the subject. We also are one of the few places you can have and experience a rigorous Q&A time.
So that's good. I actually wanted to jump into that. So what is the kind of the format of an ICON lecture series lecture?
The lecture itself will last anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, and then we usually have at least 20 minutes of Q&A, and if it's something that's just really important to our audience and the line, we'll keep going, until the speaker gives out. We do have to pay by the hour for the venue, and that is something to consider because we could certainly use more time on a lot of evenings because people get so engaged, they're so excited to find a place where they can finally ask that question or ascertain the thing that's been bugging them or they've never been able to figure out. It just is fantastic. And even after the speaker quits, we find that our audience is so engaged with each other. You know, they're digging in deeper, they're asking more questions, they're finding out how other people are maybe involved in that particular subject or policy, what they're doing on the ground.
Okay, so I mean, it sounds like you kind of got to kick people out at a certain point.
Our venue,
you're paying for the venue for the hour.
Much. We always joked that when we got started and we were really penny pinching, that it was a fabulous problem to have that people didn't want to leave, but in the very beginning, when we really didn't have any money, it was self-funded by the six founders. We realized that we needed to let that networking happen. And I will tell you why that was important. We are in the very deep blue counties of Durham and Orange. And as you know, those counties are run by a total Democrat majority. Not much room for conservatives or Republicans to interject. So they've mostly, I call it going to ground, to use a hunting term. They've gone to ground. They've decided to keep their noses down and not try to get any attention and, you know, interact in the conversation. And what we found was when we brought these people out and they were able to engage in the room with other people, realize they are not alone, or they see somebody and say, oh, I didn't know you were a conservative. And they're just networking like crazy. The energy in the room is fantastic. So that was a real happy, fortuitous thing, serendipitous thing that happened that we weren't thinking of when we were planning in the beginning, but we're really glad it did. And we're really glad we have the money now to let them stay for a while.
All right, right. So it kind of where you're located is a lot of, you know, liberal and progressive rule there and not a lot of room for conservatives. And you're kind of given a little safe haven of sorts, you know, between, you know, daylight saving times.
One of our speakers was Richard Miniter. He wrote the book Leading from Behind on Obama. If you're familiar, anyone in your audience is familiar with that. He's an internationally known journalist. And he said, we should be the red zone in the blue counties in the purple state. So that's how we see ourselves.
Okay. So moving on a little more to actually, you know, Tom DeWeese is coming up March 13th again. And so his talk is called Sustainable, the War Against Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuality. And I've looked a little into his stance on sustainable development, and he's actually got an article on the American Policy Center website up front right now about it. And I'm sure it'll still be in the article. When people hear the show, they can go and seek it out. But it talks about how this is a kind of a cloaked term in a way, sustainable development, that it's really about control. And I you know, guess that this speaker series, he'll be digging down into the nuts and bolts of that. So we don't want to give away where he's going with it. But why do you think this is an important topic?
Mass transit is one of the biggest policy issues in the three counties right now, Wake, Durham, and Orange. And mass transit is all a part of Agenda 21 about denser housing areas, combining everything, retail, the train station, the apartments, even affordable housing, all into one section. So it's about population control in the end. And as you may know, and your listeners may need to know, this is part of a UN plan called Agenda 21. This is about sustaining the planet. So the title of his talk is also the title of his book, which will be hot off the presses on Tuesday the 13th when we have our lecture, and we'll have the book available. But he used that word sustainable as the very first word in the title because that is the issue, and he's using it more as a question mark, sustainable question mark, and how these things will be lost, your liberty, your freedom to choose where you live, other things that are going to be lost once this plan is implemented. And it's more and more. Bike lanes are part of Agenda 21. Did you know that?
I did not.
All of that is moving towards this one goal. And Agenda 21 isn't a conspiracy. It's on the UN website. You can go read about it. But that is Mr. DeWeese's expertise. And that is what he will mainly address. But if you ask most people out and about in your daily life, you will hardly ever come up with anyone who knows anything about this UN plan called Agenda 21.
Right, and I mean, that's something I'm not very familiar with, and I'll have to look into after this. But, you know, sustainable living, sustainability has been this topic that has been, since I went to college, has been in the forefront. I mean, I went to Appalachian State University, and I was on the school paper there, the Appalachian, and my beat was the sustainability beat. It was an entire topic of discussion for stories. Every issue, there's always something going on. It is a, you know, there's multiple student organizations, and there's classes, there's projects. They have a windmill up there. It is, you know, it is the normal state of being, and especially in a college town, because the way you first time I used public transportation was in college. You know, the bus system is going around the entire town of Boone. You know, the living situations are there that way. I mean, you're living in dorms. It's very clustered together and
dense.
Definitely. Yeah. And then I think now, you know, I live out on an acre of land, and I got, you know, my neighbors they're close enough, but not too close. And that's not in the sustainable living plan at all. I mean, they would want three houses on my 1 acre, not my one house in my giant yard.
And they might not let you have a dog either.
Well, that's too bad. I like my dog.
Well, the point is that a lot of millennials have only been exposed to the sustainable narrative from the one side of we must save the planet. Nobody discusses with them. So in the process and the policies that have to go into place to sustain the planet, what does that mean for your life? That means you may not live on that 1 acre and have a dog. It means you won't have choices and individual liberty. But very few people discuss the alternative to what they've all understood is the pathway they think they want or they don't know a whole lot about. They need to learn more. And in fact, let me throw in right now, students are free to ICON Lecture Series. We would love to have some young people come out, be able to ask those questions. We don't shut anybody down. We're very open forum, and we welcome it, as do most of our speakers, and I think Mr. DeWeese in particular, because this is an education that no one is giving people.
Right, and I think about this, you know, idea of sustainable living, and the way I've always seen it, and this is not the way I think that people who are really pushing it see it, but is that, you know, I like to live in the country. I grew up in the country. The biggest, you know, after college, I got a job in Goldsboro. I lived in a townhouse in Goldsboro, and that's the most metropolis I've ever been, you know, city living, if you want to even call it that. And so I've always been preferred the country. And my plan is possibly to move to more land and then, you know, put a horse on it or something, or just, you know, go further down away from what I guess would be the sustainable living. And I see it as the people who want to live in the city and they want to live in downtown Raleigh and move into these new apartments that open up, it seems like every week, a new apartment building. They can do that, and I can do it my way, and it's going to be fine. I mean, that's where my standpoint comes from. But, it, you know, looking at this material and you know, knowing, I guess, what Tom DeWeese will probably be talking about in a couple of weeks, that may not be an option that the other side would want me to even have.
So if the goal is to get rid of cars, the goal is that most people will take mass transit. That's why we have all the light rail, the bullet trains, all of this discussion right now. That's the goal, right? That will presumably save the planet, right? Getting rid of fossil fuels.
Apparently, yes.
Yes. So there's no choice to where you will live if you have no means of transportation to get to and from your job back to your home.
And therefore, I can't imagine. I just cannot imagine getting to that point. I mean, people talk about the self-driving cars, and I already don't like that idea. If you talk about no car, I mean, I just think about turning 16. So my stepsisters, one of them just got their license. And I think about, and it didn't seem as, you know, much of a issue for them to go and get it. Like, you know, she didn't get till she was 17. But I was 16. I wanted that license as soon as possible. You want that freedom.
I was going to say, freedom is the word there.
Exactly. And every 16-year-old boy especially understands this idea of the freedom that a car gives you. And I cannot see willingly handing that over. Willingly handing over the freedom of movement. And granted, I never grew up, you know, I didn't grow up in New York City. I didn't grow up in a town where I know a lot of people don't even have driver's licenses. You know, they don't even have, or they may have a license, but never learn to drive a car, really. I just cannot wrap my head around that idea, especially not here in the Triangle.
But it's like many subversive agendas, Matt. They don't tell you and educate you along the way until finally it's done. And everybody says, why didn't anyone tell me this was going on?
Well, they just need to show up Tuesday, March 13th at the event center in Chapel Hill at 7 p.m., right?
We would love to have people be more educated on this subject. We'd love for people to come that are for sustainability, that actually are pushing for things like this, the light rail. Like I said, that's a major point of interest and funding. Have you ever been to a light rail meeting?
I've been to some, yes.
Yes. Well, they have beautiful watercolor renderings of these gorgeous high-rises, and one side is affordable housing, and one side is deluxe condos and retail. They make it look so glamorous.
Utopian.
Utopian. That is a key word for them. But from my perspective, my son is a law enforcement officer. He can barely afford to live in Durham now on his salary. So I asked them, well, so where is my son supposed to live? You're going to have this great expensive. They're all about the developers, correct, on high-end rentals and all of that. Then they'll have the affordable housing for the lower-end earners or, you know, on public assistance. I said, but so where is my police officer son supposed to live? Where have you taken into account anything in his salary range? If you want community policing and safety, you've now run police officers out of even living in the town where they
Where's
serve.
The middle?
There is no middle, is the problem. I don't know if they intend to work that out in the future. But yes, we want everybody to come with just that kind of question. That's what I posed to the developers. And it was, you know, there was silence. We want thoughtful people on every side to come contribute to the conversation. In our area, the conversation's one-sided. And so we are proudly more conservative-leaning. But that in no way inhibits or should mean that anybody should not come, and we want the conversation. We have too little conversation, not too much.
Right, and I think about, you know, so I live in Johnston County. And so, okay, you have this planned light rail line that's supposed to go between Durham and Chapel Hill and Raleigh and go around there. And go, okay, well, that doesn't work for me. I'm in Johnston County. Okay, well, you can get on a bus. Currently, there is a bus that goes to the Walmart just outside of town, and then I can go to that bus and then take that bus into Raleigh and then maybe then get on the light rail, or maybe I can take my bus to my job. But how do I get to the bus station in Johnston County? How do I get to the Walmart? Well, I need a car. Well, you don't get a car anymore. Do I get a bike lane to ride my bike to the Walmart to get on the bus to the light rail station to take the light rail to the closest station to my job, to then get on another bus to ride that bus to the closest stop to my job, and then walk the rest of the way to my job.
And how much are you counting on there being a 40-hour day for you to be able to do that?
I'm not sure.
I don't think we have any control over that.
I think I'll start leaving for work at 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
but
well,
I also have to take a bus to get my daughter to daycare, so I have to get a trailer, which I already have a trailer for my bicycle. I'm a cyclist. I like to bicycle.
Sure.
I do. I love it. I enjoy it. In fact, if I had to ride my bike to work, I probably could, but that's not going to work when I'm wearing a suit to go down to the legislature.
It's a time thing, too, for many people. And
oh, definitely.
And so while we're talking about this, in this sustainable quest, and we have these light rail tracks and points through the community, let's talk about how people don't like congestion right now. So, you know, we haven't turned over. We still have cars.
Rid of the cars. We have no more congestion.
Right. But in the meantime, how many more stops are you going to have at each of the rail crossings?
Yeah, I think.
Think about that.
Oh, I know. And I mean, I'm looking at the options. So I figured out, like, you know, the daycare option is a problem. You know, if it's raining or it's cold, you can't throw the kid in the trailer for the bicycle. It's just not gonna, work. So here's the fix. I have to move. I mean, if we're talking about a society without cars, I'm gonna have to move to one of these high rises or somewhere else where I can exist under the new rules. But the current rules work just fine for me. I live on my acre of land. You know what? If they want me to start a garden on my land, I did it once a couple years ago. It worked out pretty well. I grew some hot peppers and I ate them. And I grew some collard greens. I can do that again, and then maybe I can get like a check sign off that my land is now sustainable. It'll be a sustainable farm. I'll use heirloom seeds, and then maybe I can keep my car, and then I can keep my acre of land maybe.
Right, but you need to come here, Mr. DeWeese, because that would be putting you in the category of having property rights, and you're not going to have those either under Agenda 21.
But if I have a farm, I thought it was okay. I need to look into this more.
You need to look it, as everyone does. It has been around a very long time. In fact, the other point that's in the national news right now is guns. Did you know that the UN actually had a gun control proposal?
Oh, definitely. That one I was definitely up on.
Yes. So even our Bob Dole was there pushing for this gun control. I don't know that many people even realized it was going on. So the question is, do you want the UN to decide who gets to have guns and who doesn't?
I don't want the UN to decide anything for me. I am an American. We'll take American ideals and American laws. The United Nations does not get to decide what I do.
But
that's
there are
for sure.
Plenty of globalists, Matt, who actually want it to be a borderless globalist society, and that's where this is heading. And the only obvious entity to be in charge of that that's already established would be the United Nations.
If the European Union, you know, if they want to open their borders between countries and have their free movement in between them, that is their prerogative. That's their decision. They can do that. That is not going to work for the entire world. It's just not going to work.
Well, from your lips, we'll see. It doesn't mean it can't be a goal, and I'm convinced that that is a goal.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not a goal. I'm not saying it's not an intention for it to happen. I'm saying it won't work. And if we try and do the downside of doing that kind of thing is so bad. I mean, it's not going to work. It's not like you're doing something that's not going to work, and it, you know, oh well, we tried. Like, the downside of this is very serious.
The damage will be done. The damage will be done.
Yeah.
It'll be very hard to pull out from that damage.
I mean, not to jump onto a whole other topic, but it's sort of like the Affordable Care Act. You go, well, oh, we tried, like, to unpack everything that's been done over the last few years implementing the Affordable Care Act is not a simple process.
But you did not change the subject entirely, because all of this is based on something being centralized.
Yes.
So the Affordable Care Act was one big example of having everything centralized. So you're still on topic. As far as the police station and their procedures in Broward County, the FBI, as a matter of fact, is becoming more centralized. Used to be you talked to agents on the ground in a local area. Now you don't. It's a top-down distribution of the information they receive. And as we see, that didn't work well at all, because the lower people on the ground did not get the message about the shooter. So from the Broward County Police to the FBI to Obamacare to the UN, I mean, it is all a thread. It's not a conspiracy. It's a plan. And we're trying to let people find out more about how that plan is playing out. When I have people say to me, oh, that can't be happening, or that's just not true. I'll say, well, so this is happening, and this. And so you tell me what's not happening in this list. And then we'll discuss what, you know, if you don't want to believe it's, you know, a plan or a conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, but just tell me which of these things is not happening. Well, they're all happening.
All right, and real quick, we're going to have to come to the segment on close, which I hate, but we do have a time constraint on us here.
Understand.
So I want to go over the information for the lecture series real quick. So before the first lecture sales, I mean, and during, but this is your big time for full season tickets to get pushed out before March 13th.
And it's a financial savings if you buy a season ticket.
Right, and that's $65 for the full season ticket. Individual lecture tickets are $15 online or $20 at the door. And to do that, they go to iconlectureseries.com, icon, I-C-O-N. And thank you for being here on the show with us.
That's it. Great to be with you, Matt.
All right. Thank you to Janie for coming on the show and giving us a little bit of a look at what's going to be going on in the Icon Lecture Series and their first opening kickoff. Again, if you want to get those tickets, go to iconlectureseries.com, icon, I-C-O-N. $65 for the full season, $15 online, $20 at the door for the individual ones. And they'll do those going forward on Tuesdays in April, or March, April, May, September, and October. There's 5 in the series. Go to the website, check them out. And we will definitely have Janie back on to talk about those different ones coming up. So again, thank you for being here with us through this transition. We'll catch you next time.